Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read together with me, as if you didn't already know, the title of today's sermon, How Great Thou Art. Based on Psalm 86, verse 10, listen to what the Bible says. O Lord, you alone are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Today we're going to do what we did last Sunday. Take a closer look at a hymn that we just sang. And today's hymn is one of the most famous hymns ever written. How Great Thou Art. The hymn had its beginning as a poem written by Carl Gustav Boberg. Anybody want to guess his nationality? Swedish. Born in 1859 in Sweden, Carl Gustav Boberg, eventually became a Lutheran pastor, and after that, he became a member of Parliament, the Parliament in Sweden. As a young man, he was a fisherman and a carpenter, but then he had a conversion experience in his early 20s, felt the call of God to become a pastor, and thus he did. And the original title of the poem was, O Mighty God. He wrote it at age 26 in 1885, and here is how he came about to write it. He'd been on a summer evening walk all by himself, and suddenly a thunderstorm and a fierce wind came and almost blew him off his feet. But the storm passed as quickly as it came, and he soon was overlooking the ocean bay, and he was watching the water in the ocean, which was as clear as glass. And then suddenly, in a tree branch above his head, a little bird began singing, and right at the same time, a church bell in the distance began ringing. This happened so quickly, Carl Gustav Boberg said, all these things happening at once, he was overwhelmed by God's majesty. He went right home and wrote this poem, O Mighty God. It was published and soon set to a Swedish well-known folk tune. The hymn became very popular in Europe, was translated into Russian and then into German, and found its way to the United States of America, translated into English, and at that time it was renamed How Great Thou Art. Originally the hymn had 9 verses, but the 4 verses that we sing today are now sung by millions of people all over the world, all because of a sudden summer storm in Sweden. Now I wonder, who could have been behind that sudden storm? Oh yes, God, would you say it with me? How great thou art. Carl Gustav Boberg died in 1940. In Sweden at the age of 81, never knowing that this hymn he wrote would become one of the best loved hymns in the entire world. Now we're going to take a closer look at this hymn, its biblical background, and finally its message for us today. Verse 1 declares, and you know it, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Can you imagine Carl Gustav Boberg writing these words because he was considering the sudden summer storm that had just occurred and all that he had experienced? But this same sense of wonder at God is spoken of in Psalm 86, verse 10. Listen again. O Lord, you are great and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. And from Psalm 8, you hear these words. This has been turned into a modern praise song. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. And when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, what is a human being that you take thought of them? What are people that you care for them? My friends, it would be good for each of us, from time to time, to stand at a seashore, to pause on a mountain trail, to gaze at a sunrise or a sunset, and in awesome wonder, consider God's greatness and our smallness. And yet, to give thanks to God that, as the Bible says, this Almighty God still takes thought of us and cares for us. My friends, the first message of this hymn is this. God's creation says of God, how great thou art. But now comes the repeated and repeated refrain of this hymn. And when I hear you sing it, your volume is louder, your faces are shining brighter when you sing these words. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. This part of the hymn reminds us why the Almighty God of creation cares about us. Then sings my soul, says the refrain, my Savior God, to thee. God cares about us because he's our Savior. The Lord of all creation saw the horrible mess we have made of our lives from Adam and Eve until the horrible headlines in newspapers today. And this Almighty God of creation would not abandon us to destruction. Yes, God's creation is great. But my friends, Grace Wischke, Yvonne, Carol, Anthony, God's creation is great. But you are the crown of his creation. And he has come to us in Jesus our Savior so that our sin would not destroy us and not separate us from him forever. This is what we were talking about in confirmation class, the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. The God of creation so loved us that he came to do something, to send his Son, that we would not be apart from him forever. And all we can say is, how great thou art. Now the Old Testament prophet Isaiah looks forward to the day when Jesus will come. When, O God, my Savior God, to thee we sing. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 25. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Verse 2 of How Great Thou Art continues. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. How great thou art. In this hymn of praise, Carl Boberg bounces from creation to salvation and now back to creation again to remind us how great thou art. Jesus did the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus connected creation and salvation to remind us of God's loving greatness. Listen to what he says. Do not be anxious for your life. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow. They do not reap. They do not gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. But are you not worth much more than they? This is what's called a rhetorical question. What's the answer? As much as God loves the birds, are you more precious to him? Yes, you are. Now in verse 3 of this great hymn, which is my favorite verse in the entire hymn, Boberg tells us the number one proof how we can know that Almighty God of creation has a great love for you and me. The wonders of his creation need to be pondered and described. But this next wonder is beyond human description. Listen to verse 3. But when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. This is why so often, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, until the Lord calls me home, in both children's messages and the pulpit, I have you turn your eyes to the crucifix above the cross. Would you do that again right now? As we see Jesus on the cross and realize what he did for us there, and ponder his blood shed and his life given for us, we must bow our heads and with Carl Gustav Boberg say these words: I scarce can take it in. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Every time we see a baptism at this baptismal font, every time we kneel at this altar to, with the bread and wine, receive the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we can join Boberg and declaring, I scarce can take it in. Would you say that with me? I scarce can take it in. In the sacraments, in baptism and communion, all that Jesus has done for us at the cross and the empty grave are given to us today. Because that's what a sacrament is. A sacred gift of God that delivers to us today what Jesus has won for us 2,000 years ago. Forgiveness of sins and salvation. Indeed, we scarce can take it in. O Lord our God, then sings our soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. The fourth and the final verse of the hymn. So if you're keeping track, we're getting toward the end. The fourth and final verse of the hymn says this, and listen carefully. This is just what we were studying in confirmation class this morning. Boberg writes, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. The fourth and final verse of this hymn says, when Christ comes back, we have a third and final reason to say the words, how great thou art. Verses 1 and 2 have told us, the wonders of creation cause us to sing, how great thou art. Verse 3 says, the wonder of salvation causes us to say, how great thou art. And the fourth and final verse gives us the third reason. On that final day, when Jesus returns to usher in the end of the world and eternity and to take us home, we will again sing together, one time with me again, please, how great thou art. This is what St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, another passage we just covered today in confirmation. Listen to what Paul says. For on that day the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And thus we will always be with the Lord. And on that final day, what shall we say? What shall we sing? I can think of no better words, now say it with me like you mean it, than how great thou art. Our final illustration, and our sermon is done for today. In the Middle Ages, around 1200 AD, there was a well-known priest who announced that in evening service that night, he was going to preach on the greatness of the love of God. Now, this was not a usual topic Because in those days, the usual topics were about judgment and God's wrath for sin. So that, on that appointed Sunday evening, the cathedral was filled to overflowing with people. But instead of going to the pulpit, the priest simply sat. The setting sun was coming through the stained glass window. Still, the priest sat in silence. Then finally, when the cathedral was dark, he went over and lit from the Christ candle a candle. And then he walked over to the altar where a human-sized representation of Christ on the cross was hanging, just like we have. And in silence for several minutes, he held up that candle to the precious, pierced hands of Jesus. Then he moved that candle to the precious, pierced feet of Jesus. Then in darkness, he moved the candle to the very head of our Savior Jesus with the bloody thorn crowns. And after these sacred moments had passed, the priest pronounced the final blessing. The time of worship was ended. And the people left worship that evening knowing they had heard an unforgettable sermon on the greatness of God's love, even though not one word was spoken. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. In the name of Jesus. Amen.